Since our last recording, the world's completely changed. The president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, announced a national lockdown / shutdown, which essentially means most small businesses cannot operate in this time. And I'd just like to play a clip first, just detailing what implications this has on small businesses, mainly from his speech. I think it's a really, really important message, mainly because it communicates the implications and really brings into perspective the impact of this entire crisis.
All shops and businesses will be closed, except for pharmacies, laboratories, banks, essential financial payment services, including the JSC, supermarkets, petrol stations, and healthcare providers. Companies that are essential to the production and transportation of food, basic goods, and medical supplies will remain open. We will publish a full list of the categories of businesses that should remain open. Companies whose operations require continuous processes, such as furnaces, underground mine operations, will be required to make arrangements for care and maintenance to avoid damage to their continuous operations. Firms that are able to continue their operations remotely should do so. Provision will be made for essential transport services to continue, including transport for essential staff and for patients who need to be managed elsewhere. The nationwide lockdown is necessary to
So this has massive implications, and I think a key takeaway for this specific episode of ours is around remote work and what it possibly takes to run a business completely remotely. And that means your entire staff is working from home and they connected in some way through some tools in order to manage or just control the impact that this could have on the work that they're doing. Ubele and I work for a startup called Yoko, where this has been completely implemented, where it's complete remote work. And it's constant just use of tools that enable people as much as possible. I could not imagine what it would take to make this possible 10 or 15 or even 20 years ago. I'm grateful to live in the time where Slack exists, where Zoom exists, where so many other tools exist to enable people to still be, you know, productive, to still be able to put work out and still be able to function. So today what we really want to do is go through an essential list of really great tools that we think could help you, your startup, your small business, whatever it is, run completely remotely. Of course, it does have some restrictions. This is more for businesses that are more startup-based, which is, you know, using some essential technology in order to build out products and stuff like that. It would be very difficult for a small business in a very traditional sense, possibly, you know, a retail outlet or a restaurant or anything like that, to use tools like this. So I'm putting this at the beginning so that you don't have to go through the entire podcast without finding any value. I think it's important that you understand the context from which we really communicate. Ubele, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I've adjusted to working from home. It's just, just getting into that routine of actually, you know, applying my mind to what's currently happening and just accepting the reality of it. But other than that, I'm good, man.
Yeah. I've sort of had the same sort of adjustment to make, where it's like, what does it really take to work from home? You know, you're in a space where you're comfortable and you still need to be productive. Whereas before, you knew, you know, productivity had to happen in the office, in an environment that shaped that, where it was like, you know, that's what was expected. Whereas now it's like, you know, building out a workspace, trying to make sure that this workspace is the place where I believe work must be done. Being able to go, you know, I'll start at this time, end at this time, take breaks at these times. And, you know, it's an adjustment.
Yeah, people underestimate the value of having a routine in life, right? So now, just adjusting your whole routine to the situation, it does take a toll, but, you know, it's the reality of it, and you need to do it, right? So you can't do anything, you just need to do it. But, Mash, can I ask, like, what's the most basic thing or requirement do you feel you've needed in this time?
Internet and Wi-Fi. To be honest, there's nothing that happens or moves or, you know, without the Wi-Fi and the internet, I'm screwed, right? And I had a situation where I think it was yesterday or the day before where I ran out of data. And literally you disconnected from your team, from, you know, the meetings that you need to take. Everything now is a data game. And we spoke a bit about, you know, in the last podcast around the change in consumer behavior. And this is something that I'm thinking about even in this situation where I'm going, my behavior is changing. The amount of data I used to consume a month ago, 3 months ago, a year ago is vastly different. Right now, I'm always online. I'm always online.
And you need to be connected in order for you to do your job in the situation, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just going into the tools that you spoke about earlier, so you would agree that being connected and having a sense of like ever roaming Wi-Fi is essential for you to do your job.
Yeah, I think of all the tools, I don't think there's even one that you can use offline. I don't think so at all.
So number one, I would say, tool number one, Wi-Fi, right? So what are the options that are available to entrepreneurs, startups, general people working from home that you found out there that might be useful to them in the situation?
So I think, you know, we live in the world that we live in, and you know, data prices in South Africa are now going to be exposed for the exorbitant cost that they are, right? And I think what has helped me is really buying internet-only bundles. So I use Telkom, Telkom Mobile. So that's been okay. You know, I'm paying 250 Rand for 20 gigs of, you know, normal time data and 20 gigs of after midnight data. So it's about essentially 40 gigs. So that, you know, midnight data obviously is not really great for being productive, but it's a really great way to sort of catch up on content. So that's where I'm downloading stuff on Netflix and getting stuff that I can use during the day. So downloading tutorials and all those sorts of things that you want to sort of test out. I think obviously you are a massive advocate of rain.
Massive is an understatement. I am a very big proponent of rain, right? And it's business friendly. Think about it. You pay 250 Rand a month, you get 19 hours of off-peak, unlimited data, right? Off-peak meaning that anytime from 11 o'clock at night to 6 p.m. the next day. So if your business opens at around 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you're covered. And it's good Wi-Fi coverage, right? And now they recently released an unlimited package for about 476 Rand, I think, right? But obviously that has comes with its limitations to 360 progressive resolution for streaming. But you know, as long as it still gets you connected. And today, what they did is that they tried to be innovative in terms of distribution by selling their products through a Cosmopolitan.
Crazy enough, you know, I think it's such a smart move, right? Because you're putting, you know, the SIM card in so many people's hands and you're distributing at scale. The one thing I think they might not have thought about is distribution. I think it came out so late. Like, I only saw the post today around, you know, them having free SIM cards in all the cosmopolitan issues. And, you know, we literally have one more day to go to grocery stores and stuff like that. I mean, yes, they'll be open after that, but is it really an essential good? You know, those sorts of things come into play. But I think it's a massive move. It really, really shows their commitment to, you know, increasing accessibility and connectivity as well. So it's a really great sort of tool. And I'm excited to see how many people take it up and how many people really use it in order to better the work that they're doing.
Yeah, I really think people should like give it a try, right? You have a 7-day window where it's essentially free. You can test it out and you can see how it works, like, for you and for your business. On that, Mesh, moving on to the tools, right? So I'm sure people would like to hear more from you than from me, right? They understand you. They know what you're about, right? I want you to take us through the tools that we found, specifically through the categories in terms of how useful it is and how it could be applied to, you know, small businesses, creatives, entrepreneurs, and just general people who, you know, who are interested in, like, really wanting to move remote. So the categories, I'll just name them and then we can obviously just touch on them as we go, right? Number one, accounting and finance software, which is Xero. Number two, company management software, which will be Slack and Zoom. Number three, sales and marketing software, which will be Shopify and MailChimp. Number four, customer support software or tools, which essentially would be just Facebook Messenger and emails. And number five, logistics software, if it applies to anyone, or would be UAfrica or in Parcel Ninja. Yeah.
Cool.
So just going back, right? Just talk a little bit about Xero and how it's applicable to small businesses.
Cool. So I'm a bit sort of, you know, I'm familiar with Xero mainly because, you know, it integrates with Yoko's sort of services and it helps small businesses in a much seamless way. So Xero is an accounting software which you really use to reconcile all your transactions, view financial statements, track expenses and cash flow projections as well. So my thinking around this is really, you know, people say, you know, you go to your doctor for a health check and he says, okay, this is what's going on with you. Here's your blood pressure. This is your whatever. And then you sort of go, okay, are you healthy? Are you not? You start to make changes. It's very much the same with financial statements, right? Where you're going, okay, where am I really? What is the health of your business? And I think that's where financial statements really, you know, thrive, is to show you the health of your business. And it's never more important than it is right now, right? And the big thing you really want to do now is to understand how much runway do you have? So runway, and we want to try and, you know, break this down. I don't want us to use jargon and then just leave it. But so runway, essentially, think of it the way airplanes work. How much, you know, I don't even know how to execute this metaphor. But basically, it's how long do you have to land? And not crash, basically. So you use runway to see how long you can survive with the money that you have, depending on the expenses that you have. So what you want to do right now is really look at what your runway is and see whether or not you can survive the time that this lockdown might cause, right? So if your business has a runway, you know, so a simple example would be, say, all your costs and whatever for a month is 50 Rand. Obviously, this is an example. All your costs are 50 Rand. If you have 150 Rand, it means you can last 3 months. Cool? Yeah. Very simple example of it there. So what you really want to do right now is try and stretch that runway as much as possible. Cutting costs where you see that, you know, maybe this is not going to work. And I think something that has been spoken about very recently about, you know, with a lot of business developers is this is the time where if you can variabilize the cost, right? So if you can cut down on the costs that don't necessarily directly lead to sales or growth, that is the most important thing now. Cut down on those things and emphasize as much as possible on the things that can make you survive this time and last way longer after that.
That's super important, man. Like, that's super important. Like, I hope, like, people take this and, like, they reevaluate their financial statements. Just moving on, man. Company management, right, which is essential for remote working. Like, you need to stay connected to your colleagues, your employees. Like, just a bit about Zoom and Slack, and maybe if you like Trello. But yeah, like, I'm sure people know about Google Drive, but just talk a bit about Slack and Zoom.
Cool. So I don't know when this podcast turned into a mash show. Just by the way,
people want to hear from mash.
Honestly, when did this? This is a conversation where we both, you know, engage, but it's fine. I'll go into it. So I'll start with Zoom, which for me has become, you know, these guys have done insanely well. Do you know what the growth numbers are because of the crisis that we're in?
Of Zoom?
Yeah.
Yeah, they change day by day, bro. But they are the number one app on the App Store in most countries around the world. So that's pretty much insane.
That's crazy. So, I mean, essentially, right, so Zoom is a communications tool where you can sort of have a call, whether it's audio and video. You can sort of show your slides or your screen. You can connect with the people that you really need to have meetings with. So it's really a virtual meeting room sort of thing, right? So video conferencing, webinars, if you want to do different sort of video communications, whether it's just you and sort of your colleagues, you and a client, you and a partner, it is the simplest and fastest way to connect with people. Other than WhatsApp call, which I've started to really enjoy. You know, I think we want to talk about high-level tools that are super techy, but we're doing this podcast.
Zoom is essentially free, though.
Exactly.
There's a free package for Zoom.
So you can also use Google Hangouts, which is, you know, pretty seamless as well. I mean, if you're familiar with the Google Suite or the G Suite, it should be a really good experience. And then there's Skype, which was actually one of the first ones to do this sort of thing, but I find it so difficult to use.
It is absolutely archaic, man. It's like a blast from the past. I've had so many meeting requests for Skype for Business, and I have zero idea of how to operate that thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather stick to Zoom and, interestingly, WhatsApp call. Yeah,
cool. So let's get into Slack, right? So, I mean, I don't even know what I need to say about Slack. Slack is God. Slack is...
You know about Slack? I think people should find out for themselves. Like,
no ways. We're doing this podcast to inform people.
Yeah, but people know about it. But, like, that mystique of it, that intriguingness of it, where people need to discover it on their own.
But you know what? What we're going to do, though, is give some a base level, right? So, you know, I describe Slack as being, you know, you can't have communications in your business running on four different platforms. It needs to be on one platform. It needs to be on a platform that you can all see, you know, what's happening at all times. It allows for collaboration. So really what it is complete communications and tools for your business, for your startup, for your company that happens all in one place, right? So you have the ability to have, you know, one-on-one chats with different colleagues or your manager or whatever it is. You can have groups where you can discuss different projects, you know, in your teams. You can coordinate and collaborate through those groups. You can integrate so many tools into Slack as well, right? So, for example, what I found to be a really, really cool integration is one where you can integrate Slack with Twitter in order to see each time your company is mentioned on Twitter and someone is saying something about you, and you can see that through. And the company has full sort of transparency around what you see, when you see it, and how as well. So it integrates with really a lot of tools. Another one that comes to mind is Periscope, which is a data sort of platform for managing data in your business. It really, really offers a lot. Do you have any thoughts on Slack?
Man, it's just a great platform. Just an interesting stat on Slack's integrations. They have over 1,500 apps integrated to them, like essential services. You can think of anything, it's probably integrated to Slack. Google Drive, your calendar, Instagram, LinkedIn, like it's integrated to Slack. So it's a very good management system for the whole company. So I think people should really look into Slack. Yeah. Just quickly moving on, Mesh. Are we comfortable with Slack?
I'm happy with Slack, man. I think the only thing I have a problem with, it doesn't really allow for work-life balance. It's literally, you know, if you have it on your phone, you're done. Like, you're always working. Because the communications come through and the tasks come through. And I think, sort of, it's not the same sort of tool, but in the sort of same class, it's something like a Trello or Asana, which are really tools that you can use to manage tasks, see the status of tasks, and manage projects from. So I think using those, and this also integrates with Slack, so it's a really great tool to try and use with Slack in order to build out really cool task management and project flows, stuff like that. So what's the next tool?
Just going back on that, like, 'cause I found another one that is like an awesome tool for creatives. It's Notion.so. You can just put it in the podcast notes. It's like, it's a very great tool and people will love it. The next thing is sales and marketing. Like, since now we live in an age where people are really, really adopting online, Shopify and MailChimp. What do you think about those?
Cool. So, I mean, you know, you and I are partners in a e-commerce business, and we were able to set up an online store, I'd say, in an hour, maybe less.
It was more than an hour.
Okay, I mean, that was mainly due to our own errors.
Two and a half hours, max.
But, I mean, if you can set up a completely new channel for your business, digital, with really great integration. So the thing that you're going to realize with all these tools is a lot of integration. And the reason why you want those integrations is because it helps you better have a seamless flow throughout working with different tools. So even with Shopify, it integrates with Facebook Messenger, which you can use to manage your customers, to speak to your customers and communicate with your customers. With Slack, we mentioned all those other integrations. With Xero, it has multiple integrations into, you know, Yoko or any other sort of POS systems. So even with this tool, it's really, really great in terms of that stuff. What's your thoughts on it?
It's an awesome platform if you really want to move your business online, or if you're just trying to start out. Like, it will really give you like the upper hand in the coming weeks to, you know, just to get you a kickoff, right? Especially with the integrations, right? Like MailChimp, you know, getting a database of your customers, just keeping in contact with them constantly. You know, it's a very great business tool. you know, I think we're running out of time, Mash, but let's just, we spoke about customer support, which would be essentially Facebook Messenger, which also integrates directly into Shopify. So that's cool. Instagram is good also for engagement and just putting your content out there. Twitter DMs also work. The last one is just logistics software, right? So integrations. In South Africa, it's like, this is one of the main, like, the biggest tools that we have in South Africa. The other tools we spoke about are mainly, you know, companies that exist or made in America and in such countries. But in South Africa, we, like, U Africa integration on Shopify works, where you can, you know, you can do your fulfillment through there. Parcel Ninja is also a good one. Like, we have sorted out logistics in South Africa for online businesses. It's just getting people comfortable with actually moving to that vertical.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Mash?
Yeah, so I think, you know, you've got so many options, whether it's Pago, OneDrop, U Africa, and others. Just to mention, right, so unfortunately we do try and pack as much as possible in the shortest amount of time in these podcasts, mainly because we want these to be, you know, we actually want to cap it at 10 minutes, but we've created this amazing platform. It's called Founders Source, so spelled exactly the same as the podcast, and we've detailed these tools in there, right? So you can go to foundersource.com. Source is not spelt normally, it's spelt as in sauce, like tomato sauce, hot sauce, that sauce. So what we want to do is really create and, you know, be able to help people discover the best tools, the best content, the best communities, and the best organizations to help you build your next creative or entrepreneurial venture. So go to foundersource.com. Click on the tools tab, you'll find an incredible list of things that you can use to really run and build your business. We really want to try and make these podcasts as short as possible so we can really get to the things that matter as much as possible. This episode was very difficult to record. I will mention this.
Oh my God.
It was difficult to record. If you listened all the way through, thank you so much. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. We're doing these daily because that's where the world is right now. We need to help as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time with as many resources and tools to be able to do things that matter. So please check out our website, foundersource.com, and you can find all these tools on there. Ubele, thank you so much. Let's move on to the next episode.
Cheers. I'll see you tomorrow.
Cool.